The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
In this episode, we share with you a ritual that helped us get through quite a rough patch in our relationship.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to today's episode. Are you having a giggle attack?
Yeah,
it's normally
kind of laughing at us.
Oh, well.
It's okay.
Anyways, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Before we get into the topic for this episode, we wanted to tell you about this amazing recipe.
For summertime.
For summertime. Now, I know we are like moments into fall, but it's okay because depending on where you live, it may still feel very much like summer. But these are matcha creamsicles. I've renamed it matcha creamsicles, okay?
Oh, instead of matcha pops.
Right. I mean, it can still be a pop, but I'm going to tell you. We will get to the topic today, but this recipe is so good. We had to share it. And anytime something comes along that is just amazing, it's a responsibility to share it, don't you think?
Toast. I think in general, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Like share
okay.
the wealth, have that culture
yes.
of sharing the wealth. We need to move away from this hyper-individualistic society into a more communitarian
share.
Kind
share
of ethos.
And share, yes. So I was on Instagram one day and my friend posted a recipe for matcha pops. I saw it. I'm like, I'm going to make that.
You're like,
I realized,
I'm Asian. I'm Japanese and I need to know about this matcha.
Matcha? I guess, yes, possibly.
I just had to stick, yes. you know, the Asian stuff.
Yes, okay, well, anyways. And we had it on hand. Like, a lot of people have to go buy it. We had it. I don't know. Does
Did
that matter?
Get Asian points?
Whatever. I was trying to. I don't know. Anyways. So, this recipe was so good. But again, wait, let me just back up. So, I didn't have all the ingredients. So, I revised it with what I had. So, here is the recipe. Go get a notepad and a pen, and I'm going to tell you the recipe. This is how well we it's a short recipe, but I've memorized it because we've made it a few times now, right?
Well, I'm lucky that you have.
Yes,
Sienna makes it and blends it, and what I do is
I clean
the molds. I clean the popsicle molds. Like, I'm the dishwasher generally in our house.
You're the dishwasher?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so here we go. This is the revised recipe for matcha creamsicles versus matcha pops.
Okay.
Which is just obviously a creamier version, which I love.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess okay. that is obvious. I
so it's
didn't
one,
think of it that.
One can of coconut cream, And don't get all the ones with like all the filler and stuff like that. You want it unsweetened. It's just one can of coconut cream, 2/3 cup of coconut milk. The 2/3 cup of coconut milk can come from a can, or it can come from whatever non-dairy milk you might have in the refrigerator, like a carton of coconut milk or a carton of almond milk. It could be anything like that. 2/3 cup of maple syrup. And this is pure maple syrup. It's not maple syrup like Aunt Jemima
with added
pancake
refined
syrup.
Sugar.
Yeah, it's just pure maple
corn
syrup.
Corn syrup.
Yeah, no, we don't want corn
not
syrup.
That.
And the last ingredient, 2 teaspoons of matcha. Oh my God.
2 teaspoons, that's it.
2 teaspoons, 2 little teaspoons. Yeah. And all you need to do is blend all of this together and then pour it into your molds. If you do not have enough molds, what we did is we left the mixture in the blender and we added a whole bunch of ice. We blended that all together and it was like a matcha frappuccino. Matcha frap. Yum. Oh my God. So good. It is so good. And we posted it on the Love and Above blog and people are making it and enjoying it too. So I hope you guys enjoy that recipe. If you've tried matcha before but had a bad experience because it was too strong or it was too bitter, there was probably a bit too much matcha in there for your taste.
Or so, maybe you just don't like how matcha,
maybe you,
green tea
that's
tastes.
True. That's true.
Possible.
But I will say this is a very nice, nice amount of matcha in here, meaning it's just the perfect balance.
We think it's perfect.
To me. I got sassy because when I first made it, I did one heap. I did two heaping.
Because you were like, two tablespoons? No.
Well, two teaspoons. Teaspoons.
Oh, teaspoons.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Do not put 2 tablespoons in there. I got a little sassy, and it was a little bit too much, wasn't it? Just a little bit too much. Anyways, so enjoy.
So Sienna just mentioned that the recipe is on the Love and Above blog. So that is loveandabovecatclub.com. You know, I'll put the link in
just
the show notes.
Yeah, and they'll see the photo of it.
Okay.
Because it's that. Okay.
All right.
So enjoy. Let us know if you try it. Well, one more creamsicle note. How about that? This is so easy to do. Now, if you don't like matcha, you can substitute the 2 teaspoons of matcha with 2 tablespoons. So toast, maybe this is what you were thinking of. 2 tablespoons of cacao powder. Cacao powder. And you'll have fudgesicles, people. Fudgesicles. So good. Totally. We tried the recipe. Totally good. All right. Topic.
Actually. No.
Are we going to get to
there's
our
another,
topic
yeah,
today?
Yeah, I promise. Just a note that these are so delicious. So we were looking forward to them for dessert. But we learned
kind of the
hard way
so important.
That, hello, reminder, these things
both have
caffeine
yeah,
in
both
them.
Of them.
So we kind of like, we're like lying in bed and just
talking and couldn't
fall asleep. And we're like, oh my God, too much matcha.
We had a business meeting.
Just lying in bed in the dark. Anyway.
But don't forget too, this is also really important. Don't forget that matcha and cacao are superfood items. So they're superfood ingredients, tremendous antioxidants, and even cacao has an antidepressant quality to it, which I have certainly felt. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It does.
It does.
Well, that was fun. Next, we'll talk about The Notebook, a relationship habit.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Notebook, a relationship habit.
The movie.
Okay. The movie.
Please,
okay. Are you old enough to remember the movie, dear listener? It was a thing.
They might not be old enough.
Yeah.
We are. That movie was so sweet. I hope people don't drop off now because I've said that.
That's horrible.
Because, you know, a lot of people, there are many people, I think there are more closet people who like sappy movies.
Hey, somebody's keeping the Hallmark Channel in business. Somebody is.
That would be me and my brother.
And my brother.
Your brother likes
actually Hallmark? Well, my sister-in-law.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Remember?
Yes, yes, she does. She does. Because everyone wants a happy ending, right? I mean, not...
Right, right. That's our instinctual knee-jerk kind of...
The original happy ending, yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know what you're talking about.
Anyways, so I will just... I can't hide who I am. I mean, I love a beautiful love story. A beautiful love story. Hello, live your love story. Love and Above Cat Club. I mean, I love love. People know that. I love love. So The Notebook, are we talking about The Notebook? No, we're not. Wait, we're not. We're talking about our notebooks.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. You talk to the people. I'm going to just open that door.
For the cat?
Yes.
Okay. See, we promise you cats. So our cat is pacing and he's wanting to go into the other room. So Sienna's going to do that for him. So The Notebook, A Relationship Habit. Now, what we mean by that is a literal ritual that Sienna and I used to do for about 3 to 4 years during a time much earlier in our relationship.
We were fighting.
When we were fighting, man. Like hands on hips standing in the kitchen at 2 in the morning. You know, that kind of fighting, you know.
But you see.
And you're walking on eggshells for 20 the next plus half years. A week.
20 plus years later, I mean, this is what it is, right? There's a journey. Nothing is ever smooth sailing because we're here to grow, we're here to learn, and this was a huge thing for us to learn with each other.
Yes, so this notebook ritual
saved us,
for lack of a better word, was definitely something that helped us out during a time when we were fighting a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckle a little bit, but I bet more than one person will be able to relate when I share that Sienna and I would...
You're making me nervous.
Well, we would... at least we had some presence of mind.
What are you going to say?
We had some presence of mind to know that maybe we shouldn't continue talking at each other's faces. And instead, we should email each other.
Believe it or not, folks, we started emailing each other because you cannot give a tone in an email.
You have a chance to read your words back to yourself and make a better decision.
Yes. I mean, you can read an email and it can feel tony, right?
Oh, totally.
But at least there's more benefit of the doubt when you're reading words on a screen.
And you have the chance to edit yourself. Like, you have the chance to be a better person.
Yes. Yes. Instead of blurting, right?
Right.
Blurting. Right. So we did. We emailed each other. And then one day I was watching Oprah.
This was back during the Oprah era.
Wait, was it during Oprah time or was I watching
No, it was during.
It was Oprah? Yeah, okay. Of the time. So, and on Oprah, she was interviewing a bunch of couples who had been together for like super long. And one couple... They had this ritual, I guess we're calling it a ritual, right? Or they did this practice of writing every single day in a notebook, answering 3 questions. So the questions we're going to share today are the ones that we used during our time. But every single day, you get your notebook and you answer 3 questions.
So it's kind of like Mad Libs for couples.
They probably don't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh? Oh, my gosh. Okay, those of you who know, you know.
If you know, you know. You know.
So the first thing you write is, dear blank, and you fill in your partner's name. And then you say, then you write, today I feel, and then you can choose to share how you feel. The next thing you write is, yesterday was great because, and then you find something that
focus
you can
gratitude.
Consider yep. to be great or grateful for, right? And then the third and final thing, you write something like, I'm grateful for you. So this last one is you're focused on your partner. Yeah, I'm grateful for you, or I'm grateful for your blank, you know, your, I'm trying to think of something that I'm grateful for you for.
I'm Look how grateful. Long it's taking. We have to do the no. books again.
I'm grateful for your laugh. Another thing could be, I'm grateful when when mm-hmm. you take the time to give me a compliment.
Another,
or, I'm grateful that you, mm-hmm. it's like, I'm grateful that you do all the work that it takes to decide on our grocery list and, make the groceries happen for us. Those would be real life examples of what I might say in my letter to Sienna, because that's the type of stuff that she does.
And so there's so you're basically answering three things. You're writing yes. three things.
Right. And today I feel, yesterday was great because, and I'm grateful for you, or when you, or that you, mm-hmm. Something about your partner that you're grateful for.
So that grateful one, that third one, actually we started using a little later. The original mm-hmm. was, I love you because, and you,
right.
So if you like that one, if that one resonates, then true. You can use that one too.
Yes,
so,
true. Whatever resonates with you, because
yeah.
see,
what?
This is me chuckling at myself, because that to me,
yeah.
I love you because, that's like a very, that's a tough.
That's the whole thing you talk about with like quantifying, right?
Yeah. Well, and that to me, like I just love you because I love you. You know, like you can't explain love. Sorry.
Anyway. Yeah, well, that's probably why we changed it, right? You probably brought yeah, it up in yeah. an email or.
okay. This is not a philosophy podcast, so I will stop.
So what's great about this, it's pretty much similar to a gratitude journal in a lot of ways, but it's very, it's more focused and focused on the relationship, your life. And yourself, like it's just those three things, right? Mm-hmm. How you're feeling that day. How many times, like for Toast and I, we would be, towards the end of the day and we wouldn't totally know how's the other one feeling. But when you start the day, and I've read in my journal book, Toast's words of, oh, she's feeling stressed because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. Now I know that and I can go into the day with more compassion, like knowing that that's where she's at right now. And so is that going to be a great time for me to bring up some other stressful topic? Probably not. But it might make me want to do something, a little extra nice thing for her that day because she's feeling stressed,
That's right. I forgot. So the way we used to do these books.
Oh, yeah. Explain that.
Is each of us has what we call morning time. So Sienna gets her coffee, I get my tea.
And we are apart.
Right. We are in separate rooms and we just do our things like meditate or journal or whatever. Our personal solid time of solitude. And so during that time, we would write the notebooks mm-hmm. for the other person. And then deliver the notebook.
Yeah.
And just leave it mm-hmm. and walk away.
Yeah.
Nobody gets hurt.
No. Nope.
So that's how we would do nope. it. So we that's would be able would to start.
It. And at day. That time, it was a really stressful time, I remember, financially too, mm-hmm. which was probably why we were fighting a lot as
definitely
well.
Definitely a contributor. Yeah.
But we would just go to the Dollar Tree and buy get their composition books.
Marble.
And, notebook. So Toast would have one. I would have one. And we would just write and trade it. So,
I think along with the fact that it prompts you, this ritual prompts you to think about your partner. And then obviously also lets them know that you're thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the therapy of it. But I also think just the act of writing out in longhand.
Yes.
It kind of forces you to slow down, be more present and settled in the moment. And I think that is also therapeutic.
That's totally therapeutic. And yeah, and also too, like, it's so different when you are called to write it out. You're thinking of it, you're writing it out, versus stopping at thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it takes, how it changes, even how it even goes deeper. There's something that goes deeper when you take a thought from just being in your head and then you actually write the words down, because now you're choosing the words. You know, there's more, it feels more integrated, and you're more immersed in whatever that thought is.
Yeah. I think the task of having to articulate and put things into words and like to form
kind
sentences
like the emails,
about
right?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it actually helps you think and helps you get clear about how do you feel or what you do think about.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we did that for about, we did the notebook relationship habit for about 3 to 4 years, I guess.
That's a lot when you think about
it.
I mean, the couple on Oprah did it like, I think it was like at least 20 years.
Oh,
they
my God.
They did it a whole stretch of their lives.
Oh.
I mean, their relationship.
Wow.
Not from the start of it, but.
That's amazing.
They did that. And I think that would be, I don't know if they have kids, but how beautiful for the kids to have all those notebooks. I mean, that's probably a lot of notebooks, though. That could be a book. I wonder if they ever wrote a book.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah.
But we slowly.
We stopped doing it.
Yeah.
And it was fine because that's probably why we stopped.
The season for that was over, I guess.
Yeah.
It is neat how.
Oh, and we still have them.
They're
well,
somewhere.
I have mine. Joel's your face.
I don't know where mines are for sure.
How
you know?
Can you not know?
I mean,
I have
so many boxes
are.
Of books, and I don't even. They must be with all of my journals. And I don't know where my journals are.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
You know?
I will give you.
Like, exactly. There's.
I will give you a pass for the moment because we have moved 3 times in 3 years. So they've got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. It's funny. One of those things where it's like, I probably spent a few hours looking for a bunch of like electronics type stuff.
Oh yeah, where to go,
know?
Right?
And I was like, oh my gosh, I guess I lost in the move. Like what? And then
I know it's so strange.
And then later on you come across it and you're like, oh my God, they were there the whole time. Oh geez, why did I see them there?
Oh, where you were initially looking?
No, they were just in a place where I obviously hadn't thought to look before. Oh. But you know,
but
in the course of just going about my business on another day, I went in, and I was just like,
but
anyway.
that's moving, right? Like when you're at the you want to make use of every inch of a box. So you end up throwing things in there that don't even match what you wrote on the outside.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it's like you live without those things.
I mean, you
so
try.
Do your, you really need them?
Exactly.
You know, and then you're like, why do I have so much stuff?
That's why I don't
God,
like
that's another topic.
Too much stuff.
That's another.
It
you know, we should do a topic on moving. Anyways.
It overcomplicates life.
It does.
Okay, that was off the topic.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and this tip. If you try it, we'd love to hear how it's going, how it goes.
If you're on Instagram, you can let us know by sending us a DM. We're on Instagram at Sienna and Toast. All one word, Sienna has one N. And you can also find us at siennaandtoast.com. Rate and review the podcast. Just support your friendly neighborhood lesbians, you know, and LGBTQ folks. Support the love out there.
Yes.
And yes, as always, live your love story.
Since 1977, Omega Institute in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley has hosted some of the best spiritual teachers and social visionaries, sharing their messages of hope, healing, and transformation. On the Dropping In podcast, hosted by Emmy Award-winning producer Callie Alpert, you will enjoy in-depth interviews and conversations with people like Pema Chodron, Jack Kornfield, Jon Kabat-Zinn, and many others on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Also, check out the video series on Spotify.